Welcome to the Providence Bible Church Podcast. We're a group of people who just want to love God, love people, and change the world. We meet each Sunday at Outback Crab Shack at 8:30 and at Wards Creek Elementary School at 11 o'clock. You can find out more about Providence by visiting www.providencebiblechurch.com. We got that going. I've got all kind of cool stuff. Did you ever get anything as a gift that you never used? Did it ever happen to you? You ever get something somebody thought, they gave it to you, they thought, man, this is going to be great, and this is something they'll really love and use. I'm looking for a table. We'll just sit it over here somewhere. I got something like that one time. And what I got one time was this right here. Somebody gave me this, and I loved it. And it was a really, really cool thing. But honestly, I haven't ever seen it before. Maybe you've seen it. Well, like, guess that gift. That's what we'll do. We'll see if we can tell what it is. There's that.
Plastic.
It's plastic. That's right. That's right. It's plastic. Somebody gave me some plastic to use. I can't get it out of the bag here. There it is. Right there. I don't even use it. It's okay.
A juicer.
Yeah, man. It's a juicer. And it's great. They're healthy for you. And they're really good. There it is. Okay. I should have just had it out there to begin with, shouldn't I? Little lessons you learn about how to do music. And 11, you guys gotta come at 11 o'clock sometime because everything works perfect. Do what? No, she doesn't. She never used it. She wouldn't. I used it like twice and then she didn't. And, but it's supposed to be really, really healthy. And man, my favorite thing to make, or used to be, was carrot juice. And man, it's really, man, it's sweet. I mean, it's amazing how sweet carrot juice is. It's healthy. It'll cure what ails you. It's really, I can't even make it get back together now. But it's, somehow it works. It's awesome. You guys, I was going to make juice for you this morning, but I guess I won't now. But they gave this to me, and it's great. It's Jack Lane Power Juicer. I even had the book somewhere that was, it tells you all these, rich in antioxidants, man. It'll help you avoid cancer. It'll help you avoid, if you just juice, you can throw the whole thing in there, whole apple, and take the seeds out, but you can throw just seed, rind, everything in there. You can make this really good juice. The pulp comes out right here, and the juice comes out. Well, I think I wrote the thing off. The juice comes out. It comes out right there. It comes out right there. And man, it's really, really tasty. But you know what I did with it? I made juice with it a couple times. Realized it was too hard to clean up, and it took like 47 carrots to make a glass of juice or something. And I said, man, this is just too much work. And it's a really cool thing and all, but I'm gonna pack it back away without break that maybe. But I said, this will be really good, and it's a great idea. But I think it's gonna stay underneath our kitchen. Okay, it worked before now. There we go. Somehow. So you see why I don't use it, right? There we go. Okay, so I said, we're just going to keep this thing safely down and underneath our cabinet. And we'll keep it down past my chair back. So anyway, but they gave me the juicer, and it was a great gift, and the idea behind them giving it to me was that I would use it, that I would be healthy, that I would share it with my family, that I would do all this, I would get a lot of benefit from it. But, and I did, like, a couple of times, and I let my daughter one time have a little sip of juice, and she kind of liked it, and it was okay, it was kind of cool. But then, I just quit using it. I think that's what Christians do, people do a lot of times. See, this morning we're talking about a guy that has a heap of treasure, and we've been looking at these 8 parables in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bible, you know, Matthew 13, we've been looking at these 8 parables. And Jesus told him and explains this stuff about the kingdom of God. And as he goes through and explains these things about the kingdom of God, he's explaining some really deep stuff to them. And when he gets to this text today where we are in Matthew 13, verse 51, what he tells them is basically that he gave them these things, he's taught them these things, not so that they could keep it themselves, not so that they could put it in the cabinet and store it up and go, well, I know the truth about God, but so that they could then share it with other people. That's what he's talking about this morning. That's what we'll discuss today. That's where we're going. But you guys, we do that all the time, though, don't we? People give us stuff, and they expect us to use it, and then, we don't use it, whether it's a Flowbee or whether it's a juicer or a book. People give you stuff that you don't use, and it ends up then the next year being a re-gift. You guys don't do that, do you? I'm sure you don't re-gift. We'll do that, or we'll just pack it away somewhere and forget that we even have it, and we don't use it. Well, I don't want you to do that with the stuff that God has taught you. And Jesus didn't want his disciples to do that with the things that he had taught them. And he doesn't want you to do that with the things that he has taught you. The person that gave me the juicer did never intended for me for sure to drop it out here, but not they didn't get it for me so that I would leave it underneath the cabinet. But they got it for me so that I would use it and make juice and have a better life. God gave you truth, not so that you could keep it to yourself, but so that you could use it, so that you could share it, so that you could apply it to your life. So just look at Matthew 13 with me real quick here. We're walking on through, and Jesus gets here in Matthew 13, 51, and he says this. He tells him, have you understood all these things? In other words, he's asking, did you guys get it? Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? All these things. Have you understood what I've just taught you? He's just finished teaching them these deep truths about the kingdom of God. I like that Jesus does that, because every now and then I'll ask you guys, are you with me? And I just get a head nod or something. And that's what Jesus is doing this. He's saying, are you listening? Did you get it? And what's funny is, I'm sure they didn't fully comprehend it. In fact, you can tell from some of the dumb questions they asked later on in Matthew that we'll look at as we study through the book. But they didn't fully get it, but they said, yeah, we get it. We understand. And that's how they answer them. Have you understood all these things? So what are these things that he's talking about? We're going to review that just real quick. Because over the last few weeks, we've been studying these parables. And we've been calling the series Once Upon a Time, because not because it's a made-up story, but what Jesus did, a parable was something that he, as a story that he would lay alongside of a deeper truth to help us understand that deep truth, help us get around, get our hands around it and understand it. When he says, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. These things that he talks about are the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. If you remember the first time we talked about, when we first jumped into this, we talked about dirt. So once upon a time, dirt. It wasn't real creative, but that's what Jesus was talking about. And back in Matthew 13, he was talking about four types of soil. Four different types of soil. Right in the very beginning of the chapter, and then down in verse 18, he explained it. And what he basically said was, there's this guy that goes out sowing seed and planting seed. And as some of the seed falls on hard ground, some of the seed falls among thorns, some of it falls on shallow soil, and some of it falls on good soil. And there are four different responses every time. Sometimes the Word of God, when it falls on really hard ground, the birds come and snatch it up, and it does. And he says the seed represented the Word of God. And he said when that would hit that soil, it would just like bounce off. It would never take root. Nothing would happen. We talked about how we know people, or maybe we've been people like that. I told you how I was a person like that, where when people came to me and said anything about God, I just threw it away and it just bounced right off. It never found a home in my heart before I became a Christian. And so that was what was the deal was there. And then we talked about the soil that was shallow, the shallow soil, and there were people that kind of said, wow, that sounds great. I like this whole forgiveness deal. But they didn't have any root. They didn't really surrender their life to Christ. And so when it got tough and they realized, boy, following Christ is going to cost me, they kind of withered away and nothing really happened from their life. And we talked about those guys. We talked about the rocky soil or the weedy soil, where the people that trust say that they respond maybe to the Word of God. They hear it. They think that's great. But they never let go of the things of this world, and it comes up and it chokes out what God wants to do. And we talk about the good soil, which is where you hear God's word and something's happened in your heart where now, and maybe you're like this, maybe this is where you are right now in your life, where you've heard it, you've heard it, you've heard it, and then all of a sudden you hear it again and it's like, oh, I get it. And it's like there's something different in your heart. Something's changed in there, and God's softened your heart, and now you're receptive and you receive God's word. You say, okay, I want to live. I want to follow you, Christ. And that's the good soil. And we talk about how our responsibility was just to spread the word. That's what he says. That's what he's telling the disciples. Your job is just to spread the seed. God's the one that prepares the heart. We have to let God handle the consequence. Let God handle who responds and how they respond. Our job is just to share and give them that opportunity. Then the next week we talk about weeds. Once upon a time, weeds. And Jesus tells them the story about the parable of these the wheat and the tares. He says there's this guy that owns all this land. He's going out and he plants a bunch of wheat. And at night, an enemy comes and plants these tares, which are weeds, like right next to it. They look just like wheat when they're first growing up. And his people come to him, the people that work for him come to him, and they say, hey, can we get rid of this stuff? We want to pull them up. And he says, no, don't do that. Wait, at the end of at harvest time, we'll separate it and we'll get it all worked out. If you remember, we talked about how some Christians want to say, well, we're Christians and we just want to separate ourselves completely from the rest of the world, and we want to make sure we make everybody else do what's right and do all these things and legislate morality and do all these different things and think we're going to fix everything right now. But through that, he shared a couple other stories about mustard and leaven. And in all that, what he was saying was, for now, evil's going to exist in this world. And my children are going to exist. They're going to be right side by side this whole time. And what you have to do is you have to just trust God. And remember, our point was, at the end of it all, at the end of the day, our job is to love them all and let God sort them out. Right? So we have this thing. Our job is to spread the word. We're supposed to love people, let God worry about sorting out who's right, who's wrong in the end. And then we talked about this really, once upon a time, there was this really good deal. That's where Jesus talks about this guy that's going along, and all of a sudden he stumbles upon some treasure. And he sees this great treasure, and he realizes that for joy, he goes out and he sells all that he has in order to get that treasure. Because that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like this guy that finds this pearl of great price, and he goes and he sells everything he had. And he gets it. It was a joyful exchange of saying, my old life, whatever I have to give up to get this, even though it's a free gift. We talk about how following Christ is free, but it'll cost you. And then we got to the end, we said, you know what? It's going to cost you to follow Christ, but it is so, so worth it. There's nothing we can give up in following Christ that we won't let back. And I am so glad that I got this instead of this. I mean, it is the best deal ever. And we even looked at the Apostle Paul and how he had everything going for him. He said, I'm counting all this rubbish. I'm turning my back on all my religious stuff in the background, all my political power, and I just want Jesus. And he said, and I count that worth everything. And last week, we had a kind of a serious discussion because Jesus talked about how the kingdom of heaven is like this giant fish net, this big honking net. And it wasn't like a little cast net, but it was like the same net. It would be like a half mile long. And the picture they used for the story was a big net. These fishermen would go out, and they would sweep it through either from one boat to another, or they would just secure one end to the shore and then take the boat out around almost a half mile around, and they would get everything in the water would come in that net up on shore. It would take several men to pull it on. They would sort out the fish, and the good they would keep, and the bad they would throw away. But Jesus said, in the end of the age, the ones, basically what he says, the ones that don't know him are going to be cast into a place where there's weeping and gnashing teeth. Talk about hell. And we realized that all of us were going to die, right? We all remember that. We all took a vote. In fact, we took a survey and asked how many people were going to plan to die one day. And if something really amazing didn't happen, unless you're doing the cryogenics thing, maybe. But everybody was going to die. And so we realized we're facing death and judgment's coming. So we need to be prepared. And we realized that we don't have to go there. If you trust Christ, you can be forgiven. You can live forever in heaven. And that's why the good news is good news. And so he goes through all these four things and he says, have you understood all these things? And they said, yes. I think you should always say, but so what, right? And that's what, and so these guys, he's giving them the so what here. Look at verse 52 of Matthew 13. He jumps into the so what. This is in verse 52. He said to them, therefore, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house. Now, this is amazing that he's even saying this, because scribes in that day, really it was somebody that could write, but it was also somebody that was known as a teacher of the law. Scribes were well respected. They were ahead of everybody else. And they could read, they could write, for one thing. But they, when people had a problem, they needed to understand something, they went to the scribes. And these scribes have been trained in the best schools, usually. I mean, they were the educated PhD kind of guys. But here he is with a group of fishermen. Here he is with a group of uneducated people, except the tax collector maybe. He's here with all these people that have really no formal training, no big background. What they've been doing is following Jesus and hanging out with him. And what he's saying is, you guys are just like scribes. He says, and really what he's saying is that everybody that understands what the kingdom of heaven is, everybody that understands how to get to heaven, says they're like scribes. They're these people that have been given the truth. And they are supposed to be kind of like, and they're viewed as experts. And look what he says, though. It's amazing. Because he says, where to go? There it is, the new and old treasure, verse 52. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, which is what he said they were, what he says you are if you understand the gospel, is like a master of a house. And that means a ruler of the house. The word carries a big power. It's not like just not like Ralph Cramden, I'm the king of my castle, little house guy. But it's this guy that has an estate. And they have several family members, maybe extended family living with them. They have servants. They have all these people that are living with them that they are responsible for. They're responsible to provide for all these people that live there. So he says, everybody that's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like this master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is old and what is new. And what he's saying with what is old and what is new, he's really just saying he brings out all his treasure. He doesn't hold anything back, but he brings it all out And not just to look at, but to share and to use. Read the Chronicles of Narnia, and I'm reading who's the guy, Tolkien? What's his Lord of the Rings? With my son. I didn't finish it, I just started it. But I think in Lord of the Rings, there's this dragon. And it seems like these dragons, you ever read about dragons, and they always like have this treasure, but they always keep it way back far in some cave somewhere where nobody can get to it. They're always miserable, they're cranky. You know, they're always ornery and cranky and miserable. It's because they got this treasure, and they're just like hiding it. And when people go find it, there's like, you know, skeletons in there. They're not sharing it with anybody. They're just keeping it all themselves, and they're miserable. I think that's why so many Christians are cranky. Not so many Christians, but some Christians are cranky. I think most Christians are. You ever see just cranky church people? Just cranky. You ever know anybody like that? I mean, I'm sure you're not. I'm sure we probably don't know anybody, but maybe you've heard about somebody that was like that. And I think part of the problem is they've got all this treasure and they think, man, okay, God, you give me truth, you give me forgiveness, you give me all this stuff. Man, and their grandma will keep it to myself. They just put it in the cabinet. They're hoarding it. And they're thinking, man, it's all for me. Woo, I'm going to heaven. You know, all these people aren't going to heaven. I'm glad I'm going to spend eternity with them. Man, I got all my stuff together. I'm doing good. And they're like dragons, man. They are. And it's just wrong. Because Jesus says, you're not supposed to keep it to yourself. Treasure was given so you could share it. We're supposed to tell people how great God is, how much He loves them. That's what He says. He says, don't keep it to yourself. But He says, if you've been trained for the kingdom of God, if you understand this stuff, you're supposed to share it with other people. That's His whole point. When God gives us treasure, He expects us to share it. That's why I don't get so mad when people steal our signs. We're supposed to share, right? We say, love God, love... That's our whole... On the back of your bulletin, that's what we're all about. We're about loving God, right? We're going to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what Jesus said was number one commandment. Number two is to love people. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to care for other people. Number three, the third thing He said... It's not just here that He says it in Matthew, but later on in Matthew, He's telling the last words He says is for you to go into all the world, all the nation, and make disciples of all nations. In fact, it's the next verse up here. It's the next verse coming up here. Hit the space bar a couple of times. Oh, wow. I didn't put it in there, did I? Matthew 28. Matthew 28 was it. But look at it. I didn't put it on there. It's my bad. I'll get it next time. See, this is a practice run for the PowerPoint and the music. Preaching, we're serious, but the PowerPoint and the music, we're good at that. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always, even the end of the age. What He's saying is I've given you this truth. You're supposed to take and share it with the rest of the world. You're not supposed to keep it to yourself. He says it over and over again, just like that last one we saw, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Luke 24:45-47, He opened their mind to understand the scriptures, and He said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer on the third day, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations. Proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He goes on from there, but what He's telling them is, listen, this whole truth that you've been given is not something you're supposed to keep to yourself. You're supposed to share it with other people. It's not on there, but John 15:16, I'm going to jot it down. John 15:16, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I chose you to go and bear fruit. And what He's saying is, I chose you to go and show people who I am and live a different life and help other people come to know me. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Do you get it? Are you seeing the picture? Are you following Jesus? What He's telling is every time He's teaching someone something, He's saying, I'm not teaching it to you so you can know more, so you can fill in the blanks. I'm teaching it to you so you can live it out and share it with other people. Acts 1:8, the birth of the church, right before the birth of the church, here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, the word for witnesses, it's kind of tough here, because the word for witnesses is actually the word that we get martyr from. You know what a martyr is? It's somebody that dies for what they believe. And a lot of these guys did. So He basically tells them, you guys are going to be my martyrs. You guys are going to be my witnesses. You're going to go testify about what I am. And it's not going to be like it is in St. Augustine, Florida, around here. Some of you in Jerusalem in this time, you're going to be thrown in prison. Paul was. You're going to have to give up your life. But you're going to testify to the fact that I am king and that I'm the only way to heaven. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which was right where they were. And you're going to be my witnesses in Judea, which is the area just surrounded. It'd be like saying Jerusalem would be like northwest St. John's County. It would be this area right here. And then Judea would be all of St. John's County, a little bit of Jacksonville maybe, just kind of North Florida. That's where we are. Judea would be that kind of area. And then up to all the ends of the earth. That's like Panama, Romania, Costa Rica, Chile. I mean, all over the world. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be taking this truth. He tells them, you're supposed to take this truth and take it everywhere. You're not supposed to keep it to yourself. Romans 10, verse 13. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says this. It says, now, we talked about how the whole hell thing, which I don't like talking about, but it's a real reality. And so that's what's coming for everyone that doesn't know Christ, the Bible says. And Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And remember last week I told you, I used to think was saved. Saved from what? Well, saved from that. Saved from my sin. Saved from myself. Saved from wrath. Saved from weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord, and remember, it's not just saying the word Lord. See, being a Christian really means that you have come to a place in your life where you realize, I've sinned against God. I've broken God's law. I mean, everybody would tell you, I've done that. You know, I have. I mean, my wife is, anybody could tell you, and probably, you know, your wife and your kids, everybody could tell you, yeah, no, they're totally sinned. You know, I know that. You know, your parents can tell you, no, they've sinned. Yeah, we know they've sinned against God. And in the Bible, though, says the wages of sin is death. It says that there's punishment that we deserve for that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what he says is, anybody that places their faith in Christ, that trusts Christ, if you trust Jesus Christ and you surrender your heart to him, he says, you're forgiven. That's what it means to call the name of the Lord. It means to say, I recognize you for who you are, that you are the King, that you are my Savior. And really, Lord means, remember what we said, it means boss, right? He's the ruler, right? So we say, okay, you're going to be my ruler. I'm going to follow you. I'm sure not going to do it perfectly, but I'm going to want to. I'm going to, you know, I want to do that. I'm still going to stumble, still going to fall, and when I do, I'm going to repent. That means turn away from my sin and come back to you and trust you. We understand that that's it, and that's the most important thing. And I tell you, every week, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I'm begging you can do that right now, right where you're sitting. I just tell him, say, Lord, I want to surrender my heart to you. And please come talk to me afterward if you want to talk about that. But those of us that know him, look at verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? This is talking about the people that don't know. How will they call on him? So whoever calls the name of the Lord will be saved. But then how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? In other words, what he's saying is, I mean, and we could go on. We just went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. We could keep going on. In every book, I could show you we're supposed to be sharing what we know about God with other people. And it's not meant to keep it to ourselves. But how are they going to hear if we don't tell them? Who's going to reach them? Who's going to reach them? We have a great opportunity here. That's why I love having church out here. I mean, it's beautiful. I like it. I feel like I have some friends that I've been praying for that I've got a lot better shot of them coming here than I do to the school or then to if we had a church building. Okay, I got one friend that tells me, man, church will fall in on me if I come in all the time. I said, man, you've been to Crab Shack. I've eaten there with you, man. It won't fall in on you. Come on. You know, and so, I think they'll come. We've got a tremendous opportunity, but you know what? They're not just going to show up. They'll come if we invite them, if we reach them, if we share what we know with them. And then come hear how great God is, and then give their heart to him. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just our kids. You know, I mean, that's kind of the sad thing, is this juice is supposed to be really, really healthy for me. And what I'll do is I'll make me a big, well, when I used it, I made me a nice thing of carrot juice or orange juice, whatever I made. And then I go mix up some Nestle Quick for my kids. Here's some poison, you know, basically that's, you know, it's good for you. It's got milk, so it's got to be healthy. And, but, you know, I give them that, and I'm drinking this healthy stuff, and my kids are drinking this, you know, sugary stuff. Yeah, that'll be okay. I live on sugar too. I think sugar is like a major vegetable too. It's like a vegetable, isn't it? It's a plant. It's from a plant. But they, so what we do though, what I'm afraid some of us might do spiritually, even as we'd say, hey, we've got this truth. Isn't this great? And then our kids are sitting there and they never hear us talk about it. They never see us live it out. They don't see us repent. They don't see us read our Bible. They don't hear how great we think God is. And we don't share with them. I mean, some of the most important people in our lives. And we're meant, God gave us his treasure so that we could share it, so that we could show them. Don't you want to be the kind of person that your kids, when at your funeral, they're going, man, you know what I learned from my mom and my dad? They messed up in some areas for sure. They didn't do everything perfect. But I saw when they sinned that they turned away from it. They repented. They really wanted to follow Christ. They showed me how to get to heaven. You know, what's better than that? They showed me how to get to heaven. They told me who Jesus was. And to the best of their ability, they really tried to share with me what they knew. And they tried to live it out. Here's what's amazing. He says to be we're going to be generous with this stuff. In Matthew chapter 9, this isn't on there either. Matthew chapter 9, it's not even a scripture written there, but we looked at it a while back. Matthew 9:38, here's what's cool. Jesus is telling these guys, he tells his disciples, he teaches them stuff, and he says, you know, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And it says in verse 38 of Matthew 9, so therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He doesn't listen. Here's the deal. There's a whole bunch of people around here. He's in Jerusalem, but we can say it right here. Okay, there's a whole bunch of people around here that don't know God. There's a whole bunch of people around here that don't know who Jesus is. There's a whole bunch of people around here that aren't following Christ, and they just need help. They need help in their relationships. They need help with their life. They need help getting away from their sin. So pray. Pray that God will send someone to them and help them. That's what Jesus tells them. Pray. And we can do that, right? I mean, all of us, if we just sign up, we'll pray that God will send somebody, right? Let's do that. Will you do that? Please do that. I do that. Pray God will send us musicians to help us do that. That'd be good too. But pray for all that stuff. We pray that. But you know what I found amazing? Is that after Jesus tells them to pray, the very next thing that he does in chapter 10 is he takes these 12 guys and he commissions them. And he gives them authority and he says, okay, now you guys go and you spread the gospel. You spread the news of the kingdom of God. So he says, you pray for it. And then he says, guess what? The people you're praying for, it's you. God, you know, is it, and here's what I just want to ask you this morning. Is it possible? I don't know. I could be totally off. But is it possible that maybe God has shown you who he is, not only because he loves you, but because he loves your kids? And he wants you to show them what it looks like to see somebody that loves God, that loves Jesus, that follows him. Maybe is it possible that God has revealed this truth to you about who he is and how to get to heaven? Because he also loves the person that you work with. And he also loves the person that lives next to you. And he knows that somebody has to represent him to them. He knows that somebody has to tell him. Somebody has to invite him. And is it possible that maybe that's you? That maybe there are some people that God has strategically placed in your life. But they're not going to listen to anybody else. If I came up to them and said, hey, you need to come to church. Or, man, God really means a lot to me. They're going to go, yeah, whatever. But when they look at you, and they see something different in you, and they go, man, there's something I can't explain. I don't know what's going on there. And when you invite them in, they'll come. Is it possible? What I've done is I've made it easy for you to apply this today. I think inside your bulletin, I think where there are the little three black, some little black cards for the Christmas Eve thing. I just want to double dog dare you. Just hand them out this way, man. If you're really scared, just leave them on the table wherever you eat at a restaurant with a really good tip. Don't leave them with a bad tip. Leave them with a really good tip. But I want you to take those things and pray. Just start inviting. Just hand them people. Just invite them. I'm going to be all my neighbors. I've already started inviting my neighbors up here for Christmas Eve. Because people will come Christmas Eve. They won't come any other time of the year. And they'll come. We'll sing some songs. We'll have some fireworks. Man, we'll have these fire pits going. It's going to be awesome. But I promise when they come, I'm going to tell them who Jesus is. I'm going to tell them how they can get to heaven. I'm going to do our best to make sure they have a good time. And ultimately, I hope they'll come back the following Sunday morning. But I guess that's not ultimately. Ultimately, I hope if they go to another church on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter to me. I want them to know they're going to heaven. So I just want the opportunity to share the gospel with them. So do that. And maybe God will open doors for you to do that. But do that and invite them. I think it is possible that God revealed himself to you so that through you, he could reveal himself to the people that you love and care about. Your neighbor, your uncle, your boss, your brother, your kids. I mean, don't you want to be the kind of person who influences the people closest to you to be what God wants them to be? Don't you want to make a lasting difference in this life? Then here's what you need to do. You need to say, God, okay, God, you give me this gift of truth. You give me all this stuff that I understand. Instead of putting it in the cabinet, instead of just keeping it to myself, I'm going to get it out. I'm going to study the Bible for myself. I'm going to know what it means. I'm going to start using it. I'm going to plug it in. I'm going to invite somebody today. I'm going to start praying for people. I'm going to start, instead of just kind of faking it, nobody here's faking that thing, but instead of just kind of doing just church on Sunday, tomorrow morning when I get up, God, I'm going to read the Bible. God, I'm going to look for where you're at work, and I'm not going to be ashamed of you. I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to live this thing out. I'm not going to be like a dragon, just hoard the treasure and keep it to myself. I'm going to share it with other people. And even if I was talking with Pat about this Thursday night, that sometimes we don't do that because we're afraid of what other people will think of us. But I'm telling you, if you're real, it's not like a weird thing. It's just a real thing. You know what? This is just who I am. It's just what I do. It's who I follow. You don't have to be weird. It's just a thing where you say, God, here's who I am. And nobody's going to think you're weird for inviting them to a church service on Christmas Eve, man. They're going to be thankful. They're going to think it's cool, especially out here. It's the coolest place ever to have church, man. You're going to love it. And so that's just an opportunity. And please, I've got a whole box. I've got more of those invitations than we'll ever give away, I think. So grab a bunch of them. I've got plenty of them. I've got more at the house, too. So there's a box back there with them. So if you can give out more, take some more and do that and hand those out. But that's it. Imagine if a year from now you look back or you look around and you see these empty chairs right here. Imagine if there's like 3 or 4 people sitting there that showed up maybe Christmas Eve, maybe next Sunday, and they just heard how great God was and they gave their heart to Him. Imagine it's somebody that you know that's got some serious problems in their life right now. I mean, maybe they're in trouble with the law, maybe they're having just major marriage issues or something like that, and they're there. And they show up because you invite them or you share who God is with them. And they give their heart to Him. And He changes their heart. And now they have a healthy marriage. Now they're not in trouble with the law. Now they're helping other people, you know, that they have a problem. Imagine that a year from now, seeing that. That can happen. But it won't happen if we keep it to ourselves. It only happens if we get a little bit uncomfortable. We start inviting them to share. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me? Have you understood all these things? And you know what? You guys are like householders. You're like people that have been given a great treasure. And you weren't given this treasure to keep it to yourself, but you were given it to invite other people. I pray you'll do that. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, please come talk to me in a minute. You know what? When we love God, we're going to talk about Him and talk to others about Him. Oh, yeah. We got plenty of time. We're going to do a good song, and we're going to do it right this time. That'll be good. So that's what this last song is about. It's about our big thing is we want to love God. And if we love God, we're going to talk about Him. I love my wife. I find myself talking about her. I love my kids, and I find myself talking about them. I love fishing, and I find myself talking about it. I love surfing, and I find myself talking about it. The barbecue ribs, crab legs, and I find myself talking about it. You talk about what you love, right? So if we just love God, really, that's kind of the key to all of it. If we just love God, we're going to talk about Him. We're going to want everybody to know Him. And then actually, don't you do that with... I do that with the boiled platter. I love that boiled platter, and I want to tell everybody, man, you guys, if you go up there, you got to get the boiled platter, and you got to get that, and that's what I want people to do, get, and turn this thing on, and we'll stand up, and we will sing, except I have the wrong song out. Wouldn't you know that? It's just typical. What's the next one? Is there another, did I put it in there? Love the Lord? Is that it? Okay, good. Good deal. All right, here we go, man. In my iPod. Need the band. The band wasn't there.